Philip, one of my guests earlier had said that he believed that some of the problems with the sun might stem from comets blasting into the sun, and I want to get your astronomical view of that.
Yeah, that would be Jim McCanny, I'm guessing. Yeah, he's a sort of a latecomer into the Planet X idea, sort of when Nancy was starting to crash and burn, and he came in. And there's a whole soap opera going on with all the proponents over there, and I won't get into it here. You can find that information on the web. I've actually got links to it on my website. Yeah, he's got this theory, which is that comets are not actually what we would call dirty snowballs.
Right.
This is a theory that's been around for, I don't know, about 50 years, that comets are mostly rock and ice, and as they get close to the sun, the heat, it doesn't melt the ice. It actually converts it directly from a solid to a gas, like dry ice does. It's called sublimation. And the gas evaporates off the comet nucleus, the actual mass of it, and it forms a giant halo or coma around the rock and ice. And that's what we see, and it makes the comet look very bright and very big, when in fact the chunk of rock and ice may be quite small. Well, Jim McCanny's theory is that this is completely wrong, that comets are actually balls of ionized gas called plasma balls, basically. And as they move through the solar system, they somehow pick up mass by what passing through what he calls the solar capacitor. It is my opinion that none of this makes any sense whatsoever. There are very, very simple and straightforward reasons why this can't be right. One of which is that, well, he claims that comets start off big. He makes a big deal that Comet Hale-Bopp, which was the big comet a few years back, that was so bright and so beautiful, that it started off as big as the Earth's moon, and by the time it passed the Earth and went back out into the far reaches of the solar system, that it was bigger than the planet Mercury.
Mm-hmm. Well, he believes that Velikovsky's theory that Venus, for example, was a captured comet.
I've never been able to quite understand what his take is on Velikovsky, even after reading his book. I'm not going to get into Velikovsky because it's just...
That's another show.
Yeah, we have 2.5 hours. We've got plenty of time.
Yeah.
Mr. McCanny's quite wrong on this.
In your opinion.
Well, in my opinion, in the opinion of basically the entire scientific community.
Well, he is a maverick. There's no doubt about that.
Well, you know, there's being a maverick and there's really being a maverick. Just a lot of people like to wear that as a badge of honor. You know, I'm just going against the mainstream. And it's like, well, you know, sometimes the mainstream's right. I mean, look at Comet Halley. This is what, you know, most people call Halley's Comet. Back in 1985, 1986, this thing passed by the Earth. It didn't actually get terribly close, but all the spacefaring nations on the planet, unfortunately, except for the United States because of some budgetary problems at the time, but, you know, Europe and all these different countries, they sent probes to this comet, and one of them was called Giotto. It was an Italian European Space Agency probe. Actually got close enough to the nucleus to get a picture of it. And because they had telemetry on this probe, they knew exactly how far away it was and how the cameras worked, they were actually able to measure for the first time directly the size of the nucleus, the chunk of rock and ice that is Halley's Comet. And they found it to be a roughly potato-shaped object, 16 kilometers long and 8 kilometers across. And, you know, that's like 10 miles across. They knew how big this thing was. If these things were as big as planets, it would be obvious. Just by knowing where it is in the sky, you can measure its orbit. This has been mathematics that's been available for hundreds of years. If you can plot how this thing moves across the sky, you can calculate an orbit. Once you calculate the orbit, you know how far away this object is. And if you know how far away it is, and you look at it through a telescope and measure its apparent size, you can measure how big it really is. And these things just aren't as big as planets.
But comets do smash into the sun, right?
Yeah, they're these special kind of comets called sun grazers. And the leading theory, as I understand it, is that many or all of them belong to a class of comets that seem to have similar orbits. It may have been a much bigger comet a long time ago that broke up, and over time these things smash into the sun. SOHO, this orbiting solar observer, sees these things quite often, not terribly often, but quite often, and it does happen. And I'm going to be very clear here about this. Don't jump to conclusions yet, anybody. It does happen sometimes that you see a comet hit the sun, and then shortly thereafter you see a giant, what's called a coronal mass ejection, sort of a puff of gas coming out from the sun. And it's easy, naively, to say, golly, the comet must have caused that coronal mass ejection. And that's what James McCanney is claiming.
Yes.
However, this is wrong. And the reason it's wrong is actually fairly simple. We see coronal mass ejections almost every day. They happen all the time. And yet we do not see comets hitting the sun very often. And it turns out that a comet getting close to the sun gets very bright, as you might expect. It reflects a lot of the sunlight.
Well, shouldn't it vaporize also before it hits the sun?
If it's coming in quickly enough and it's big enough, it might not.
Okay.
I'm not really sure about that. I'm not a solar astronomer, and I actually don't study comets for a living either. I'm willing to listen to somebody who knows more about this than I do. But even if they don't hit the sun, even if they do, it doesn't matter. You would expect then that coronal mass ejections would only happen after comets hit. And they don't. They happen every day, but we don't see comets hitting, but, you know, once every month or something like that. Plus, when we do see a coronal mass ejection after comets, and as a matter of fact, I'll get to that in a second, there was a recent one, it was just a few years ago, where a comet or two hit the sun, and there was a coronal mass ejection right afterwards, but it came from a completely different part of the sun. And you would kind of expect that the coronal mass ejection would come from the same area where the comet.
You would think so.
Now, I should say that you have a link to my website from your page.
You got it.
From coasttocoastam.com. There's a link to badastronomy.com, which is my site. And I believe you link directly to a page I have up that has links to some of the topics we're talking about. And I do have links to some of Jim McCanney's ideas and why they're wrong, and a link to a site which actually discusses comets hitting the sun. And I'm busily scrolling down to this, I heard it's at the bottom.
He's got some support out there, doesn't he?
You know...
Some?
It depends on what you mean by support. I mean, if a few people, if even a few thousand people believe you're right, does that really have any meaning if they're only getting their information from you? You know, I don't expect... By you, I mean general you, not George Nuri you. I mean...
Thank
on my
you,
website, Phil. I take great pains on my website to say, you know, don't believe me. Okay, I don't want you to just say, yeah, he's right. What I want people to do is to think about these issues and to look at the links and to find out what people really think. All over my website, when I have a topic like Planet X or the moon hoax or the black spot on Jupiter, I link to both sides of the issue. I say, go and read what these people have to say,
mm-hmm.
and then read
mm-hmm.
why mainstream science says they're wrong.